Tonight, I'm so glad that you're here for our Bible study time. Let's take our Bibles tonight, and I'm going to invite you to turn with me to over to the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 7. And I want to continue doing a little mini-series here entitled Lessons Learned from the Pharisees. And so we're going to go to Mark tonight, chapter 7. The Pharisees were the religious leadership of Israel when Christ came to the earth to call Israel to repentance. And really, the Pharisees were the ones that needed to repent the most. They were the leadership, yet their hearts were cold and callous towards God. They had a form of religion, but they were very wicked in many ways in their hearts. And they needed to be changed, is what they needed. But one of the things that you find with the Pharisees is that they possessed a very contentious spirit. You know, a lot of people struggle with this. A lot of folks I've noticed being in the ministry for 20 years here at the church is that some folks seem to struggle with this thing. They jump from job to job, and not always for this reason, but what I'm saying is that some folks, for this reason, they jump from job to job, or they tend to jump from church to church, or they jump from marriage to marriage. They jump from friendship to friendship. And the reason why they tend to jump around like that all the time is that they have a contentious spirit. Now, some people just seem to never be happy. And you say, why is that? Why is it some folks just seem to, they can never be happy? And while they may not admit it or they may not recognize the problem or realize the problem, many times, not all the time, but many times it's because they have a contentious spirit, and that's why they jump around so much. I love the way Webster's defines contentious. This really tickled me when I read this. Webster's defines contentious like this: exhibiting an often perverse and wearisome tendency to quarrels and disputes. Isn't that a great definition of contentious? I'm going to read it again. Exhibiting an often perverse and wearisome tendency to quarrels and disputes. I like that word, wearisome. You ever get weary with people sometimes? You know, and someone with a contentious spirit, Webster says that they have a wearisome tendency to quarrels and disputes. You got your book marker here in Mark 7, and we're going to go right back to this. That'll be our text. But I want you to go with me real quickly back to Proverbs 26 in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter number 26. And I want to notice two things here about contentious people. Proverbs 26, and we're going to read a couple of verses here and pick up a couple principles about contentious people. Proverbs 26, 21 and 22. Kathy, I know that sometimes in counseling you may come across this, that sometimes one person or both just have a contentious spirit. Well, what are the marks of a contentious person? Well, look at it with me. Proverbs 26, 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The first principle here about a contentious person is that they stir up strife. They're like throwing coals, you know, or wood on a fire. In other words, someone who's contentious, they stir up strife. They always have an issue. They've always got an axe to grind. There's always a problem. You know, trouble just seems to follow them wherever they go. Somebody didn't do it right. Somebody didn't do it by the book. Somebody didn't do it the way it should have been done. And, you know, and they're always getting people all stirred up. You ever know anybody like that? They're just always getting people all stirred up about something. Oh, just always, you just think, man, they're going to just drop dead with a heart attack one of these days, you know. And you just want to say, calm down, you know. But they're just always uptight and just stirring up strife, getting people stirring the pot, as the expression goes. And then verse 22 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. And it says they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The second thing about contentious people is not only do they stir up strife, they hurt other people. They hurt people. You know, and a lot of times, again, I don't think it's on purpose all the time, and I don't know if they realize what they're doing. But as they hop from job to job, as they take up their marbles and say, I'm going home, you know, and they go from church to church, and they go from job to job, and they go from relationship to relationship, they leave a trail of blood. And it's not their own blood. It's not their own blood that's the trail. It's everybody else that was wrong. You know, everyone that's just all, everyone's wrong. That's the trail of blood they leave. You know, contentious people, they seldom resolve anything. They run. They pick up their marbles and they run. They don't ever face something and just resolve it. It's easier to just, this church is just wrong, or you're wrong. I'm done. I'm through. I'm writing you off. You disappointed me. I'm done. And they just want to pick up their marbles and move on. And that, you know, that's a characteristic of contentious people, is they stir up strife, they hurt people, they leave a trail of blood, other people's blood, and then they run, they move on. And, you know, you have to, at some point, be honest with yourself. And you have to ask yourself, do I tend to have a contentious spirit? Because you will never overcome it until you first get honest with yourself about it. I'm going to say that again. You'll never overcome it until you first get honest with yourself about it. You see, the Pharisees had a problem with this thing in Jesus' day. They were always stirring something up. The Pharisees were always in the middle of contention. Go to Mark chapter 7 now. All right, let's look over there. In Mark chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" Now, folks, look, we just read it. What was the big issue here? The big issue in life for them was that the disciples were eating without washing their hands, and they're going to cause a big stink over it. Now, the Pharisees, as I said earlier, they gave a facade of being very religious, but they never experienced the blessing and the joy of true spirituality. It's what we talked about last Wednesday night. They didn't understand what true spirituality is. They thought it was a list of rules, as we talked about extensively last Wednesday night. And they were a miserable lot. They were miserable people. Do y'all understand that? Say amen. They were a miserable people. And one of the reasons why they were so miserable is because they possessed a very contentious spirit. They love to argue. They love to find fault. They love to pick. They love to just, you know, needle. They were contentious. And, you know, as we look at the text, and the text goes, man, I mean, it goes on through here, and I hope you'll read it all this week, because we're going to cover it, you know, over the course of this week and next week. But I want to draw out from the text three facts that a person has to come to grips with if they're ever going to overcome their contentious spirit. There's three facts that you got. Now, this, again, you may not have a contentious spirit at all. You get along with everybody. Great. You know what, then? Take the message and share it with somebody else, okay? Maybe you don't struggle with this at all, and some people probably don't, and that's okay, but I want you maybe to help you to understand or help somebody else. But there are three facts that you have to understand, and you got to come to grips with. I mean, you got to come to grips with these things. if you're going to overcome the tendency to be contentious. And the first fact that I want to deal with tonight is this. My preferences are not Bible. Now, we're going to explain that. But I want you to get the principle. My what? Preferences are not what? Bible. Now, what do I mean by that? The Pharisees are all worked up over this thing. Now, I want you to think about this. Washing hands, washing cups, washing tables, washing pots. You're thinking, who cares? Only the Pharisees care. Only their exclusive group cares because it was one of their petty little preferences. It was tradition, but not Bible. I want you to look at verse 3. It says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the what? Tradition of the elders. So they're all worked up over this preference issue. And they're going to cause a stink over it. They're going to go to battle over it. Now, this happens in families all the time. It happens in marriages all the time. You know how many marriages end over stupid stuff? Just stupid stuff that doesn't matter. You know? I mean, you know, this is one area where I've really struggled with this, and I've tried to work on this through the years, and I really try hard to improve in this area of within the family, because one member of the family, I mean, it could be a kid in the family who's domineering, it could be a husband, it could be a wife, but when one member of the house is determined that they're going to push their personal preferences on everybody else all the time, it leads to all kinds of problems in the home. And, you know, I'll just give you a couple silly illustrations of this. My son's 19. He's great. He's next door leading the worship over there with the teens. And he's surrendered to the ministry. Just a wonderful young man. You guys know Clint. You love him a lot. And I love him. And, you know, it's funny because growing up, as he was growing up as a teenager, do your teenagers ever do things that just get under your skin? You know what I mean? And it just get under your skin. And a lot of you think, what could Clint ever do? You guys think Clint's perfect, you know? But Clint, you know, like for instance, I remember he went through a thing when he was a teenager where when he would tuck in his shirt, and he would tuck it in, but then after he'd tuck it in, he'd kind of pull it back out like this, and he'd kind of go like this. And I'd always see him doing this. And he's hanging that thing over his belt. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Well, you know, because they don't wear shirts like the way you wear them anymore. And I'm just, you know, and, you know, they don't tuck it in all the way like you do, like this. And I'm thinking, that looks so stupid. But I had to remind myself, it's not a big deal. It's a preference. He wants to wear his shirt that way, go for it. You know, he came to me about 16 years old. Dad, I don't want to wear my hair the way you wear your hair. Well, thanks a lot. And he said, I want to go and I want to get my hair cut and I want it to be a different style than I've ever wore before. And I'm thinking, oh, man, don't tell me you want a mohawk because we're going to have problems if you want a mohawk. You know, we're just going to do this, you know, But he didn't want to do a mohawk, and it was great, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, that's not my preference, but, it, you know, that's okay for him to have preferences like that. It's not Bible, see, it's preferences. And this same thing goes on in churches all the time. You know, like the Pharisees here about the pots and washing the stuff and the hands. This kind of stuff goes on in churches all the time. Now, our church, honestly, it probably does happen, but, you know, it's not a prevalent thing, I don't think, at our church. But people will get all up in the air over an issue that's not even a Bible issue. It's strictly a preference issue. Do you know what a preference issue is? A preference issue means you prefer something that I may not prefer. If we go to a drive-thru and you're in the car with me, and I say, hey, you want to get a milkshake? Yeah, let's get a milkshake. And so the lady comes on the intercom, and the lady says, can I take your order, please? And I say, hey, what kind of milkshake you want? And you say, vanilla. I'm thinking, that's the stupidest choice anybody could ever make. That's so dumb. Why would you want vanilla when you can have chocolate? That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. It's just so dumb to me why anybody would want vanilla. Now, see, some of you are getting offended right now, right? Those of you who like vanilla milkshakes. But I'm just telling you my mindset. I'm thinking, why would you want vanilla when you can have chocolate? But you know what? But you know what that is? That's a what? It's a preference. You like vanilla? I like chocolate. Larry, you know, my wife likes strawberry, right? Larry likes West Indian licorice mocha delight. All right. That's fine. If he wants West Indian licorice mocha delight, let him have it, right? Now, I'm being silly, and I'm trying to handle a tough issue in a little bit of a humorous way. How many of you ever heard this? We've never done it that way before. What are they saying? It's tradition. Tradition was very important to the Pharisees. We have always washed our hands before we've eaten. We've always washed the pots a certain way. We've always washed tables this way. You do it the way tradition says to do it, according to the Pharisees. And, you know, likewise, typically, tradition's a very important thing to people with a contentious spirit. They want everybody to see everything the way they see it. You know? And, you know, I'll just tell you, tradition in and of itself is not wrong, and it is not wicked. Okay? Tradition is not wrong. It's not. Just because something's traditional doesn't mean it's wrong. Many traditions are very pleasant. Many traditions are very effective. It's how they got to be traditions. Typically, things don't become traditions because they're hated and because they don't work. People typically, things become traditions because they're enjoyable. People like them and they work and they're effective. So just because something's traditional doesn't mean it's bad at all. In fact, it's something you probably ought to look at. Okay? But, and you know, we have traditions that we hold to as a family. Family traditions. And they're great. They're special. They're wonderful. Church families have traditions that are great. But we simply need to remember something. Traditions are preferences, not Bible. And it's wrong when we hold to our preferences and traditions like they're some kind of cherished Bible truth, like the blood atonement or the deity of Jesus Christ, you know, or salvation by grace through faith. I mean, just a silly thing. There are preachers that believe that it's wicked and it's wrong to project words to a song on a screen. Now, they're okay with a missionary showing his presentation on a screen, but they're not okay with projecting words up on a screen from a song. Now, figure that out. I can't figure it out, okay? But it's one of those Pharisee things. It's one of those things nobody else can really figure it out, but buddy, they feel strongly about it. And to hear some preachers talk about it, it's like the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. It's that important. I mean, it's so important. It's like salvation by grace through faith. And when we hold to traditions and preferences that way, we can become very contentious and very unhappy people. And we have to learn. You say, what do I do about it? You got to learn to humble yourself and lay aside your preferences. Go to Romans 14 and just keep your bookmarker here. We're going to go right back. In fact, you know what? Before we move on, I want you to see what Jesus said in Mark 7, and then we're going to go to Romans 14. Look what Jesus said about this thing of tradition. Mark 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me.'" Now look at this. Teaching for doctrines. This is like the blood atonement. This is like the deity of Christ. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of what? Of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own," what? Tradition. Do you see how it can become a problem? Look at Romans 14. This is a great text. If you tend to have a contentious spirit, you ought to read Romans 14 regularly. If you tend to have a contentious spirit, this ought to be a chapter that you regularly read and study and meditate on. Romans 14, verse 1. "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations," arguing, fussing. "For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs." He just doesn't believe in eating all things. He thinks he ought to confine his diet to this. Okay? "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God's able to make him stand." Hey, he says, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks." Look down at verse. So what's he saying there? Are we all going to agree on everything, yes or no? That's what he's saying. You know, we're not going to all agree on all this stuff, Paul said. But it's okay. It's okay to not agree. And it's okay to see the other guy's side and not get mad at him. And not get all bent out of shape and all worked up over it. He said, calm down, relax. Paul says, just relax and quit getting all worked up because somebody doesn't see things the way you see it. And then he says down in verse 13. "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore." How much judging goes on, I wonder, in marriages, in homes, in families, in churches. He says, "Don't judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died." Verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for" what? "Peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God." All things indeed. You could say, for meat, destroy not your marriage. In other words, these things that are preference issues. He said, don't destroy the cause of Christ over that. Don't wreck your church over that. Don't destroy your marriage over your preference issues. Don't wreck your friendship over that with somebody. He says, for meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you know what he's saying right there? Look up here. He's saying, you know what? It is perfectly a godly thing for you to lay aside your preferences in favor of peace. And when you are able to lay aside your preferences for the sake of peace, when you're able to do that without griping and without letting everybody know that you're unhappy, well, I'll go along with it, but I'm not happy. You know what? When you're able to Lay aside your preferences and do it peaceably. Do it with joy. You know what? Then you know you're on your way to maturing as a Christian. But those that think that their preferences are Bible, they can't deal with other opinions or preferences. They can't deal with change. But you know what? Here's the deal. Let me tell you something. And that's the thing. Raising up kids. You know, teenagers today, there are things that they will say or do that aren't wicked. They're not wrong. They're just different than when I was a teenager. But you know what? Everything changes. Listen, is this church different than maybe some of you older folks in here? Is this church different than the one you grew up in? A lot of you in here, how many of you ever sat on wooden pews? Aren't you glad for the change? Did anybody ever go to a church that didn't have air conditioning? Raise your hand. Look at all those hands. Aren't you glad for the change? Aren't you glad for the change? Yeah, I thought so. Look, folks, if something is alive, it grows and changes. It's the law of life. Living things don't stay the same. The day that you physically stop changing, guess what? You're dead. The day you stop changing as a Christian, you're spiritually dead. And you will be relegated to the life of the Pharisee, just a contentious, self-absorbed, self-consumed, miserable person. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says the Holy Spirit is changing us so that we might reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. And one of our mottos around here is grow and change. What are you doing to grow and change, my friend? It may mean that you have to leave your comfort zone. It may mean you have to lay aside some preferences. But what are you doing to grow and change? What is our church doing to change and to try to be more effective at reaching people? You know, it may include laying aside some preferences or some traditions that we like. But can I remind you of something tonight, Crossroads? The church is not about, remember Mark 7, what we just read. The church is not all about our traditions, preferences, and the little things that we love and cherish. The church is about reaching people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, I'm not talking about compromising the Bible. I'm not talking about watering down truth and doctrine. I'm not talking about becoming one of these ministries that just tries to utilize fleshly appeal to try and reach people. I'm not talking about any of that when I talk about being willing to maybe lay aside some of our traditions or preferences and our little things that we love. When I talk about that, I'm not talking about compromising truth or Bible. I'm talking about things like, I'm just going to throw out some stuff here. Choir robes or no choir robes. Usher's jackets or no usher's jackets. Life group meets here or life group meets in that building. I'm talking about things like, okay, one morning worship service or two worship services on Sunday morning. I'm talking about pews or chairs like we have in the balcony. I'm talking about things like, okay, old songs or new songs. I'm talking about guitar or piano. I'm talking about things, you know, laying aside some of our traditions and preferences. I'm talking about things like, you know, you coming into church and saying, he's in my seat. I'm talking about things like that. Okay, that's a preference issue. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's no names on any of these pews. It is first come, first serve. Okay? So if somebody beats you to your pew, this just in, it's not your pew. Okay? And it's not a big deal. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's not a big deal. Smile. Be happy. Okay? It's nothing. It's nothing. You know? I mean, one of the things that I was talking about today, I was talking to Clint and I was talking to Pastor Larry about is, you know, the time may come. You know, in January, of course, January, the first 5 months of the year, usually we're packed. All the winter visitors are here, and you guys know what it was like. It was crazy. And we went ahead and created an overflow room back here But the time's going to come, obviously, when, you know, it was really here in January, but I mean, it's going to just keep getting worse and worse, where the time's going to come when it's going to be like, okay, either we just put out a sign that we're going to quit reaching people, we're done, you know, we're full, you know how motels put, you know, full capacity, you know? It comes a point where you basically got to put out a sign, or you got to do something else. You got to do something different. You got to change. You know, it's like, okay, we've got a building here that seats so many people. Well, once that's full two times on Sunday morning, then what are your choices? Either put out a full capacity, yeah, or you got to add a service. There's no other way. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure that out. You know, it's either that or, you know, God just swirls down a 50,000 square foot building from heaven and boom, it lands on the front property. Kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know. There it is, you know. One morning we wake up and it's out there, you know. And that's not going to happen. So, you know, one of the things I've toyed with and some of my other staff have thrown out to me is, and we've even tried it on some weekends of special like Daytona 500, it's a Saturday night service. You know, my personal preference would not be that. Saturday is, you know, that typically for me has been a family day and so forth. And so that would not be something that would be within my personal preference. And it may not be your personal preference, but yet other people, it would be their preference. You know, they have to work many Sundays in this day and age, and different reasons why that would be a preference for somebody else. And, you know, so all I'm saying, and we're not going to do that tomorrow. All I'm saying is that, you know, we're here to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if there was a verse in the Bible that specified that you cannot, you know, have church any other day except Sunday, then obviously we'd stand on that and that'd be it. But guess what, folks? We're here tonight and it's not Sunday. Y'all do know it's not Sunday, right? Okay. We're having church on Wednesday. So, you know, it just, you guys got to be careful or you can end up like the Pharisees. And you can end up worrying about washing hands and pots and tables and cups and all this kind of stuff. And you have to understand that your preferences are not Bible. When Christ came to call Israel to repentance, when he came to prepare them for their coming kingdom, Christ brought many changes. He brought changes doctrinally, brought changes in many ways, and the Pharisees could not deal with the changes that Jesus brought. And you want to know why? It's because they clung to their preferences and their traditions more than they clung to Jesus Christ. And do you know what the result was? Because they clung to their traditions more than they clung to Christ, they were a contentious and they were a very miserable people. Now look, maybe tonight this wasn't for you, but maybe it was. And you can go through life miserable. You can make that choice. It's your life. You make choices, you make decisions. You can just go through life and get mad at this one and mad and write them off and write that person off and get bitter, get mad, dart from them when they're coming down the hallway, avoid them. And you can just go from job to job and church to church and relationship to relationship. And you can go through your whole life that way and just be a miserable person. Or, you know what? You can grow and change. And you can say, you know what? I do tend to be contentious. I look for an argument, look for a fight. I'm always picking, and I'm always, you know, needling. I'm always like the Pharisees, I'm just picking. You know, I'm nitpicking. And I'm always pushing my preferences on everybody else. And you can just get honest about it and say, that's me. And I need to change. I need to grow, and I need to change. And do you believe Christ can change you? Amen. I know he can. He's changed me. And I know he can change you. You know? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the Pharisees. I want to be like Christ. You know? And the Pharisees were the miserable ones, weren't they? They were so frustrated all the time and just, ooh, mad. And ooh, Jesus would get them all tied up in knots and they'd go stomping off. And, you know, just always stomping around mad. And, you know, they were just miserable people. And you know what? You can say, I want to be like a Pharisee. And I can, you know, and you can make that choice. But you know what? I would rather tonight you make the choice of saying, you know, I want to be like Christ. And I need to chill out, if you don't mind me using a teenage expression here tonight. I just kind of need to chill out and relax in who I am in Christ. And I need to give people room to be who they are in Christ. I need to give my husband room to be who he is in Christ. I need to give my wife room to be who she is in Christ. I need to give my kids room to be who they are in Christ. And I need to let Pastor Dan be who he is in Christ. I need to let my life group, fellow life group people be who they are in Christ. They don't have to agree with me on every little preference issue. And you know what? I can just chill out, relax, and I can be who God made me in Christ. And I can even get to the point where I'm willing to lay aside some of my preferences if it offends somebody else. And I can do it joyfully. Because I want to make for things of peace. I want to live for peace, you know. And so let's pray about this. Now, next Wednesday night, I'm going to give you two more facts that we got to come to grips with from the life of the Pharisees if we're going to overcome. Okay, and they're good stuff. I hope you'll be back next Wednesday night. We're going to continue to study this, okay?